Geel, luister, geluidsdurend dit, let op.
Yeah. Thank you.
Strikes like a punch out of nowhere. Your passion bites, and I'm willing to get there. I heed your eyes, your words leave me silent. I'm paralyzed, your looks almost violent. Take your place behind the wheel. You're in command. Take me where you want to. I'm a passenger waiting for departure. Read behind a face of steel. Don't get deceived. I'm human and I want you. I'm a passenger waiting for departure. Take your place behind the wheel. You're in command. Take me where you want to. I'm a passenger waiting for departure.
Departure, reach behind a face of steel.
deceive. I'm human and I want you. I'm a passenger waiting for departure. Take your place behind the wheel. You're in command. Take me where you want to. I'm a passenger waiting for departure. Read behind my face of steel. Don't get deceived. I'm human and I want you. I'm a passenger waiting for departure.
Reels are in force, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3 Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah! That particular night in the lost history of the world, Mr. Titus Noon, for that was his name, helped us into our dresses with a sort of manly discretion. Give him his due, he seemed to know about buttons and ribbons and such. He had even had the foresight to sprinkle us with perfumes. This was the cleanest I had been in 3 years, maybe ever. I had not been noted in Ireland for my cleanliness. Truth be told, poor farmers don't see baths. When there is no food to eat, the first thing that goes is even a flimsy grasp of hygiene. The saloon filled quickly. Posters had been speedily put up around town, and the miners had answered the call. Me and John Cole sat on two chairs against a wall, very girl-like, well-behaved, sedate, and nice. We never even looked at the miners, we stared straight ahead. We hadn't ever seen too many sedate girls, but an inspiration got into us. I had a yellow wig of hair, and John had a red one. We must have looked like the flag of some country from the neck up sitting there. Mr. Noon had thoughtfully filled out our bodices with cotton. Our feet were bare. He said he had forgotten shoes in St. Louis. They might be a later addition. He said to mind where the miners stepped. We said we would. Funny how as soon as we hove into those dresses, everything changed. I never felt so contented in my life. All miseries, all worries fled away. I was a new man now, a new girl. I was freed. I was ready for anything. I felt dainty, strong, perfected. That's the truth. I don't know how it took John Cole. He never said. You had to love John Cole for what he chose to never say. He said plenty of the useful stuff. But he never speaks against that line of work, even when it went bad for us. No. We were the first girls in Dagsville, and we weren't the worst. Every citizen knows that miners are all sorts of souls. They come into a country, I've seen it a thousand times, and strip away all the beauty. And then there is black filth in the rivers, and the trees just seem to wither back like affronted maids. They like rough food, rough whiskey, rough nights, and truth to tell, if you were a girl, they'll like you in all the wrong ways. Miners go into 10 towns and do their worst. There were never such reaping men as miners, some of them. Other miners are teachers, professors in some civilized lands, fallen priests and bankrupt store owners, men whose women had abandoned them as useless fixtures. Every brand and gradation of soul, as the crop measurer might say and will say, but they all came into Noon's saloon, and there was a change, a mighty change. Because we were pretty girls and we were the darlings of their souls. And anyhow, Mr. Noon was standing at the bar with a shotgun handy in front of him in plain sight. You wouldn't believe the latitude the law allows in America for a saloon owner to be killing minors. It's wide. Maybe we were like memories of elsewhere. Maybe we were the girls of their youth. The girls they had first loved. We were so clean and nice, I wished I could have met myself. Maybe for some, we were the first girls they loved. Every night for 2 years, we danced with them. There was never a moment of unwelcome movements. That's a fact. It might be more exciting to say we had crotches pushed against us and tongues pushed into our mouths or calloused hands grabbing at our imaginary breasts, but no. They were the gentlemen of the frontier in that saloon. They fell down, pulverized by whiskey in the small hours. They roared with songs. They shot at each other over beat times, over cards. They battered each other with fists of iron. But when it came to dancing, they were that pleasing D'Artagnan in the old elegant animals. Men shaved for us, washed for us, and put on their finery for us, such as it was. John was Joanna, myself was Thomasina. We danced and we danced, we whirled and we whirled. Matter of fact, end of all, we were good dancers. We could waltz slow and fast. No better boys was ever known in Dogsville, I will venture, or purity, or cleaner. We swirled around in our dresses, and Mr. Carmody, the storeman's wife, Miss Carmody, of course, by name, being a seamstress, let out our outfits as the months went by. We mostly grew upward instead of out. Maybe we were changing, but we were still the girls we had been in our customers' eyes. They spoke well of us, and men came in from miles around to view us and get their name on our little cardboard lists. Why, miss, will you do me the honor of a dance? Why, yes, sir. I have 10 minutes left at 11:45 if you care to fill that vacancy. I will be most obliged. Two useless, dirt-risen boys never had such entertainment. We were asked our hands in marriage. We were offered carts and horses if we would consent to go into camp with such and such a fella. We were giving gifts. But of course, we knew the story in our story. They knew it too, maybe. Now I am considering it. They were free to offer themselves into the penitentiary of matrimony because they knew it was imaginary. It was all aspects of freedom, happiness, and joy. For that filthy, vile life of a miner is a bleak life, and only 1 in 10,000 finds his gold truth to tell. Of course, in Dagsville, they were digging for lads, so all the more true. Mostly that life is all muck and water, but a Mr. Noon's saloon was 2 diamonds, said Mr. Noon. But nature will have its way, and bit by bit the bloom wore us off, and we was more like boys than girls, and more like men than women. John Cole, anyhow, in particular, saw big changes in those 2 years. He was beginning to give giraffes a run for their money, height-wise. Mr. Noon couldn't find dresses to fit him, and Miss Carmody couldn't stitch fast enough. It was the end of an era. One of the happiest works I ever had. Then the day came when Mr. Noon had to speak, and we were shaking hands, and then in the dawnlight, and tears even were shed, and we were gonna be just memories of diamonds in Dagsville. Mr. Noon says he will send us a letter every feast day of St. Thomas and St. John and give us all the news, and we were to do likewise. And we lit out with our bit of dollars saved for our hoped-for cavalry days. And the queer thing was, Dagsville was deserted that morning, and no one to cheer us away. We knew we were just fragments of a legend that had never really existed in that town. And there is no better feeling.
And when we speak, it's always in judgment.